church. Oh, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. Oh, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place of sing with all your heart now. Oh, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. All that's making welcome this morning. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Somebody say praise the Lord. Gosh, it might sound like you're dead at 4 o'clock this morning. Look at somebody and ask them if they're awake. Look at somebody and ask them, are you really awake? Don't rub your eyes now. Just get cleared up here this morning. Now let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Now somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now let's sing that one more time like we really mean it. Is he welcome in your place this morning? Not just this building, but this place. Is he really welcome in this place? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him another one more big hand clap of praise. Help me sing. Holy Spirit, now sing it to him, church. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Sam Clark is going to be having to go to the doctor next week, and he's just asking that we would pray that everything will turn out all right on his behalf. Sister Kelly Batman says, I start my job at Fats, and I trust I'll see you there.
Thankful to my Lord for always providing. So praise the Lord for that. A brother in Christ says, please pray for me. I need a miracle in my work situation. Would you commit that unto the Lord? Sister Nadine Finch says to please pray for my son Tommy. He has various things going on in his life right now and really needs the help of the Lord. So let's pray for that need this morning. Special unspoken prayer request for brother Michael Carter. Let's just commit that unto the Lord this morning. Ask God to work that situation out. Sister Phoebe Therese says to please pray for my uncle. His name is Will, who was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Also for my cousin, as she seeks the will of God for her life regarding her family's salvation. So we will just pray for that need today. Brother Tim Arrowwood is homesick this morning, needs a touch from the Lord. Also remember a co-worker of Tim's, Mr. Godsey. Her husband, he passed away this past week. We want us to remember Susie Godsey, the wife and the family, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts during this loss. He passed away suddenly on Thursday, so let's pray for that need this morning. Brother Gary Ayer's wife called with a very urgent unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brenda Jones sends us in an unspoken prayer request for my grandson. Also a testimony for Lincoln Keith. His platelets are staying between 50,000 to 70,000. It's not in the normal range, but they're considering that good for him at this time. So we just continue to pray that the Lord would work that situation out for him. And this is another prayer request for the family of Eddie Godsey, who passed away on Thursday. So let's remember that family. Also pray for Lewis Cox in the hospital, not doing well this morning. Brother Rob Weber sends that in. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we've all got situations in our lives. We need His grace. We need the mercy of the Lord. We need help in situations. Is that right? Could you agree to that this morning? So we just commit these things unto the Lord. God sees what you raised your hand about this morning, and He's very concerned about your situation. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm going to be praying for you. I'll pray for you. And a lot of times I fail in that. I don't really pray like earnestly like I really should. But I want God to help me. If I tell you I'm going to pray for you, I want to do that. And people are counting on your prayers from around the world. They're counting on your prayers this morning. You believe you can get a hold of the Lord on their behalf? Somebody say praise the Lord. Just before we pray this morning, let's sing that little chorus. Thanks. Let's give the Lord a little bit of thanks this morning for what He is doing. He's doing something great in your life right now. You may feel like you are at a complete standstill. You may feel like you're backing up, but I'm going to tell you something. The fact that you're here this morning gave the devil a black eye. He would have it that you wouldn't even have no desire to come to the house of God. But you're here. Somebody say, I'm here. We want to say thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks. Oh. I'm going to share a testimony with you this morning. I believe it will help you. Sandy, you don't mind me giving this testimony. I don't believe Josh and Lane would mind me giving this testimony this morning. But they've been having some problems, school-related problems. And it's really had the family really concerned and worried. And they've been praying. They've been seeking the Lord. Well, on a Wednesday night, Now, you may think this don't mean anything, but it does. It did to them. Brother Darrell Ward walked in the back doors back there, and Sister Sandy was sitting to the outside in the aisle. And he just walked by and patted her hand and smiled at her. And she said, from that very instant, there was a peace and a consolation come over their whole family that everything is going to be all right. Now, I believe God works in little bitty things like that. A consolation that everything's going to be all right. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Brother Rob. Oh, isn't God good to a church? Love you, buddy. God bless you.
God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for coming in this service last night and today. We thank You for the joy in our hearts as You open Yourself to us behind this pulpit. We thank You for the prayer requests that have been made, Lord. We pray that we hold them in our hearts. And as we heard last night, we ask that Your will, that we be filled with the knowledge of Your will concerning these requests. Lord, once You make them known to us, Lord, pray. We pray, Lord, that You give us the courage to carry them out. Once Your will has been made known to us, Lord, we pray that You just manifest Yourself and give us the power to carry out, Lord, what it is that we must become, Lord, to fulfill Your word, to do our part, Lord, I pray. We look forward to the word today, Lord. Break the bread of life for us, I pray. Thank You for being here each and every day, Lord. Thank You for making it known to us how faithful You are to us and what it is that we must play for the part, Lord, that You've declared before the foundation of the world, that we fill our hearts with the knowledge of God, Lord. Thank You for life. Thank You for joy, for peace. Thank You for these trials that we have, Lord, that we can declare Your name amongst our people, Lord, and the people around the world. I pray, Lord God, that You just have Your way in the service. Bring us closer to You, I pray. Thank You for the joy in our hearts and fill us with Your will, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to welcome you, all our friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord that are streaming the service this morning. May God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning, a good wake-up song. A good wake-up song. Now you just think that you're going to be lazy this morning. You're not really going to be lazy. You're really going to make a contribution to this song service. Aren't you?
Yeah.
All right. We got the front row. I know they are. Amen. Let's sing it. Get up. Get up. In Jesus' name. Play a little bit of it, brethren. Play a little bit more of it.
first business. Get up, get up.
Hallelujah.
Get up in Jesus' name.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing another little chorus just before we change the order of the service. We're going to have a couple of specials this morning. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. But let's sing, Our God Reigns. You believe that with all your heart, that God still reigns, church? I'm so thankful that He does. I'm so glad we're still standing on the solid rock. I'm glad that our profession and our claim that we know the Lord is going to stand true. Your greatest hour of tribulation, your proclamation that you know the Lord and He's done something in your life, Satan cannot take that from you. Our God reigns. Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's sing it this morning. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Yes. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, bless you, heart. You're doing good this morning. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to have a couple of songs this morning. Sister Jessica Benton, if she'll come, she has a song for us today. Also, Sister Ryan, Sister Anna, and Sister Rebecca, they have a song. If they'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing after Sister Jessica, we'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord, so let's just enjoy the remainder of our time together here today.
Joseph lived a life of hurt and hatred. Even his own family brought him pain. And when his brothers thought that he would surely seek revenge, he said, I've seen God's purpose now made plain. It was the tender hand of Jehovah. I look back and see he was always leading me. Show.
If you would, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 1. The parable that we're going to read today will cover every individual in this building. It'll cover every individual that'll stream the service. As a matter of fact, it'll cover every individual that ever hears the gospel. Billions of people. That it covers us is not really an amazing thing. But I guess in which part of it that covers us, that will be the part that really will reflect what we are and where we're from. The words of the Lord Jesus, and from here I'd like to speak to you today on conditions can hinder logos. Conditions can hinder logos. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground. And brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings over your word today. As a seed sower, all I can do, Lord Jesus, is try to prepare the seed. Try to make the seed to where it will be able to fall into ground. To a degree, I can, as a minister, be able to even help with the ground itself if people will yield to the administration of the Holy Ghost and will listen. Then, by the Spirit of God, we're able to help till the ground and plow it and make it a place that will be able to receive the seed. But ultimately, it will depend upon them, the outcome. So I pray that you would help each of us today. Lord Jesus, may you grant it, Father, that we would be part of that good ground, Lord. That the Logos of God would not be sown in vain in our hearts, but that it would bring forth that which you've ordained it to do. Grant it, I pray, Father. And the church said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now let's look in verse 18 and listen as our Lord Jesus interprets to us the parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word, now this English word here that we've been looking at for several weeks, actually the Greek word again is logos, which is the mandate of God, the thought of God, the concept of God, a declaration of God for a day that you live in. So anyone will hear the logos of the kingdom. Now notice what they're hearing. They're not hearing a creed. They're not hearing a dogma. They're not hearing something put together by a bunch of men and has no life in it. It has no capability of reproducing itself. But these are actually people that are hearing the logos of God. So they're hearing the truth. They're hearing what God declares for the day. Let's say it like this, that they're hearing the message of the hour. In the days of Luther, it had been the same way, in the days of Paul, in the days of Wesley. But they're hearing the message of the kingdom. So they're not gathered there on Sunday morning to hear who's running for mayor, and they're not really concerned about the alderman, and they're not concerned about the weather or, you know, some type of new project that's going on for this and that. But actually, they're hearing the Logos of God. So those that they're hearing it from apparently are gifted men that have the ability to tap into the very mind of God. So what they're hearing now is not, it cannot be pointed a finger at, I'm not hearing the truth, and that's the reason I can't live it. No, Jesus rules that out. He's dealing with the category that where this is coming from is the pure Logos of God. It's the mandate for the day. So they are hearing this, but I want you to notice the categories of people that will fall upon. When anyone hears the Logos of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Now remember what we talked about last night, that with Rhema word, God reveals it to you, God gives it to you, and there's much of that you may not even understand. To be honest with you, you don't really even need to understand it. Because once God drops it in your heart, it's going to come to pass whether you understand it or not. It has nothing to do with your understanding, because it is a revelation of the will of God. And God will do exactly that. But when you're dealing with Logos, then it's a different category, because then there must be an understanding. There must be something there within us. How can we carry out the plan of God if we don't know which way He wants us to go? Well, if I'm supposed to go to Elizabethan, I've never been to Elizabethan in my life, how am I supposed to know how to get there? Well, somebody said, well, go out here and go right. Well, that might get me there eventually, and I could go up on top of the hill, turn back down, go back down, make a left, come across the railroad track. But somebody else said, you know what? You can spare yourself a lot of trouble if you go left out of the parking lot. But be careful that you don't get run over. Go left, go down to this traffic light, make another left. And I said, well, thank you so much. This guy here was sending me 47 miles out of the way. I was going to get there, but look at the way I was going to get there. So what is the Logos? It gives us the plan. It gives us the outlay of what God wants us to do. And the Rhema comes along and gives us the energy that we need to be encouraged to be able to get to Elizabeth and back. But now whenever one will hear the Logos and they don't have any understanding, they do not comprehend. Now this is not natural understanding now. This is not a natural comprehension, because a natural man cannot receive most of the things which are from God. So Jesus says, when one heareth the Logos of the kingdom and understandeth it not. He don't comprehend it. I don't see a significance. I don't see a reason for this and that and the other. Why would God send His Son? I mean, why we're all, you know, we're born in sin, and why do we even need all that? So they don't comprehend it. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. Now remember, he received the pure word, but it's in Logos format. It does not come with faith already coupled with it. It does not come with a dunamis power to release to this individual the ability to live right. Now it's coming in Logos form, and they must have an understanding and a comprehension of what they are hearing, or it will be absolutely fruitless in their lives. Now Jesus likens this type of an individual to dirt. Well, that's a pretty good likening, since most of us are dirt bags. Most of us are dirt. Whether you're rich or poor, you're all dirt anyway. So rich dirt, poor dirt, it's all dirt in the final equation. Now notice where he places this though. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now remember, during this time frame, they didn't have cars. They didn't have buses and trains and airplanes. So the way that people were transported, mainly back and forth, was by foot. Now the rich would have had a donkey or a horse, or the army, the militia, whatever more, would have chariots, and very few of those. But yet Jesus likens this particular person who receives the Logos of God, that they are actually dirt, but they are dirt beside the wayside. Now they are the laying of the dirt by which people walk back and forth. So you can imagine the roads in that day. They were packed so hard, they were as hard as a rock, because they did not have pavement, they did not have concrete and asphalt as we do today, but it was the dirt roads that they walked back and forth. So the mules, the donkeys, the camels, whatever more, they all came out. Now Jesus likens this individual that hears the Logos, but they have no understanding. Now they come to church, you know, and they hear the word, I don't understand, it don't make no sense, and I ain't coming back no more. You know, and some may come two or three times, but yet still notice who they are and where they are. So they are the dirt
dirt by the wayside. It's packed down. It's packed down by animals, by humans. People have told them, oh, there ain't no gods. You don't need God. Everybody's going to heaven when they die. So they become so insensitive and so packed by the traffic all around them. They're not even an open receptor to receive the Logos, to even for it to start its first stage of germination. So the seed just falls upon their heart. Now notice them. They are very hard-hearted. They are so insensitive. Maybe they've been raised in church all of their life. You realize we can have wayside people like this, and they go to church. They've been to church in many years, but it never does anything to them. They sit there. They, yeah, right. I'm here to fulfill my obligation. I'm out of here as soon as church is over. And it never does anything for them. It never moves them. It never touches them in any way. They'll nod occasionally, you know, to send forth. You know, I know it's the truth, but yet it never does anything because there's no way for the Logos to penetrate down into this hard-packed soil. Can you imagine trying to sow corn in a dirt track or a race car track or along the highway? It's so hard and so packed, and it lays there and it lays there. It's not going to go anywhere. Friend, do you understand what a preparation that you and I must make when we come to the house of God? Do you understand what an age we're living in when Satan is making people so hard? The race that we live in, whether you're black, white, red, or yellow, the human beings are becoming so hard and so difficult to deal with and so insensitive, not only to the Spirit of God, insensitive to our needs. I'm going to tell you one thing that's done that to us. Too much television. Too many movies, too many violent games that your kids are playing with somebody blowing somebody's head off and killing people. We read about earthquakes, hundreds died. We read about, you know, all kinds of things, and we become insensitive. If we're not careful, we become insensitive as the children of God because the media, we read so much violence and so much death. It don't even bother us no more. So-and-so raped a little baby. That don't bother us no more. So-and-so found a child in a garbage can. We read right over it and go to the next thing. Why? We're becoming insensitive and hard, and we can't be touched. God have mercy on us that we don't become like that dirt on the wayside that nothing touches us. How can we as the people of God ever combat such a thing? We can't on our own. It'll take the Spirit of God to keep our hearts moist and warm and sensitive so the seed can explode in our lives. Now watch, Jesus says, when anyone heareth the Logos, now none of these people are hearing Rhema, they are hearing Logos, of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Now there's something about the seed, the Logos, as powerful, as wonderful as it is, as life-giving as it can be. But yet it does not contain this within itself. It will do all of these great things only if there is a reciprocating ground in the human heart that will receive this powerful Logos. And then in that, it creates an atmosphere by which the Logos can unfold all of its great bounty. But the Logos itself, in the way that God designed it, the Logos itself cannot do this when it comes into the human heart without the heart being open, being sensitive, being fertilized, if you will, having the moisture to be able to germinate the seed of the Word. Many Christians, this is where they die spiritually. It's not that they don't want to go to heaven. It's not that they don't love God. It's not that they don't want to go into rapture, but they just do not take care of their homework. They come to church two or three times a week, whatever it is, but they don't do their homework. They don't keep fertilized in their hearts. They don't keep their heart moisturized by the Spirit of God. They don't read the, come on, church. And then they wonder why they're not a fruit-bearing Christian. They know they don't want to go to hell. They know that they believe the message. They know that they don't want to go out here and be identified with the world. But they never grow and abound. God don't want you to just grow. He wants you to abound in a Christian walk. Is that what you want? A friend, this is what God wants us to have. Oh, think of it. So, but a person who is in this type of a state, they're not one that's going to get very far anyway because they're so hard, they're so insensitive to the Spirit of God. So they will hear the Logos and the Logos will fall upon their heart. But notice what will happen to them. Jesus says, whenever the one heareth the word, the Logos of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now, nothing to blame with the sower, nothing to blame with the seed, no fault there, but it was because the recipient's heart was so hardened that there was not even enough time for it to germinate. It could not germinate on top of a hard-packed ground. It had been trampled on by humans, by beast power, by man's ideas, by theology, by all kinds of demons, and they were so hardened to the gospel that the seed fell on there. But brother, it was like water on a duck's back. It washed right off and they walked right out them doors and it didn't do one thing for them, only made them more hard. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. And the devil did his job well. Now I want you to listen to what the devil does now in this parable. And Jesus said, the wicked one catches away that which was sown in his heart. So here the Logos, the Logos of God can be sown in a human heart and it lays right on the hard ground of that heart and does absolutely nothing. And Satan comes and reaches down inside that heart and takes it away. A person goes out tomorrow and does the same things they've done the day before and the week before and the months before. They don't feel no different. Why? Because Satan achieved what he wanted to accomplish. He is a rogue. He is a thief. What's he wanting with this Logos? What's he want? What's he going to do with it all? Is he going to plant it? Of course not. He wants to steal it out of your heart and trash it. And use it to make fun of God. Here's your Logos back, God. Here's your sermon. You anointed this man to study and apply himself and pray. And he done all these things. And look what it done. Nothing. Excuse me. You toss all you want from these kind of people. But remember, there's another kind too. We're way outnumbered. But we are the majority. That's right. Watch this. Luke says it this way. It's amazing when you go to paralleling these parables now. You know, how is it that Matthew could stand there and hear this parable? Luke could hear the same parable. Mark could hear the same parable. And yet when you compare them verse to verse, each one of them says a little something different. So imagine if there's some of the message people that they'd say either Mark or Luke 1 was wrong. Just thought I'd throw that out to burn the devil's hide a little more. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the Logos out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, isn't it amazing that a person can set where the Logos is being ministered, and even though they do not have faith to believe, the Logos somehow will still go down into their heart. Now, no doubt some people can be so hard and so difficult that they will not allow any supernatural penetration of the Word of God at all. But yet these people apparently still, even though they did not believe and receive it on a personal basis, but the Logos still was sown in such a way, and they were sitting there maybe 5 minutes or 30 or an hour, whatever it was, and they were captivated enough by a gifted servant of God to where the Logos was able to go down into the heart, actually made it into the heart, which is a miracle within itself. It did not stop in their mind. It did not stop in their intellect, but the Logos was able to go down into their heart, and there it was able to lay. But as Luke says, the devil taketh away the Logos out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So they're not saved people, and they're not believers. So here's a category of people that are hearing the genuine Word of God. But they are so hard and so insensitive. Satan comes in and takes that Logos out of their hearts and carries it away. They resume their life and go on. Now let's move to the next category. Matthew chapter 13 verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the Logos, an anointing of joy. Receiveth it. But now notice again, the seed is the same. The source is the same. The difference is the ground. Now, the first ground was so hard by the wayside that the seed basically landed there and bounced around, but the ground was not broke up. Now, I want you to notice that this is not ground which has been prepared by an anointed servant of God. These are people that are not coming under the right preparation. You see, if this was a real farmer preacher, he would have already plowed up that hard ground. But these are individuals that are approaching the word upon their own understanding or upon a basis. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. I don't need nobody. Well, go right ahead. If you want to be a hard-headed person, go ahead. But had this been a farmer, he would have not placed it in there anyway. Come on, church. He would have not placed it, but he would have broke up that hard ground. He would have plowed that hard ground. He would have disced, as we'd say, that hard ground and made that ground a receptive place to receive the Logos. But he can only do as the people will let him do, you see. So if they want to come to church, they don't pray before church, they don't read their Bible before church, they stand there up there and talk about the office bunch of garbage and trash ever was, and walk in here and sit down, expect to receive the word, impossible. My friends, if you want to receive the word of God, do you think Brother Ramsey is bumping his gums together when he told us to come in and sit down and read our Bible? Don't you understand what you're doing? You're preparing your heart. You're preparing your life to be a nurturer of this seed word. Now this individual is a total different individual than the wayside hearer. Let's call him that. The wayside hearer, yet there's still a lack in the way that Jesus conveys this. He that receives the seed or the Logos into stony places. Now, those of you that have been to Israel, you know that much of their ground over there has a lot of stones in it. So it's much like different parts of Canada where I've been myself, and you see the stones absolutely everywhere. It's a marvel how they're even able to use it. But yet whenever Jesus spoke this, no doubt they were able to identify, and many of them as being farmers, and they knew the preparation time that it took in order to make, unlike our Tennessee fields and many of the fields here in America, where you can go for acres and acres and acres and never bump into a rock, never bump into anything, yet there's rocks everywhere, and you got more rocks than you got dirt. So it takes a lot of preparation. But this individual is not ready or willing to submit to the preparation for the seed before receiving the seed. I'll tell you one reason why folks don't last. They don't set for the preparation long enough. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all going to preach with me? You're going to look at me. Notice this now. This is not an accidental hearer of the word, but this is a person who is more prepared than the one by the wayside. So they come, and he said they receive the seed in the stony places. Now notice there are certain spots in their life that they're able to receive the seed. Now just imagine there's all kinds of stones around in a field. Imagine this on this area of this platform, and there's stones here and there and there and there and there and there. Now not a solid slate of stone or something like that across, but it would be more like the cobblestone type view. So there'd be a pocket of dirt here and a pocket of dirt there, and one here and one there and one here and one there. And they're able to receive seed on certain avenues of their life. That's right. I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with that. It ain't gonna be the spots you agree with that's gonna cause you trouble. It's gonna be them rocks. It's gonna be them other places in your heart that you can't agree with or can't let go of. All Christians believe there's a God. Muslims believe that. Let me give you a surprise one. So does the devil. That's right. But you see, those who receive the seed, now they'll sit there and their heart too. It's not totally cleared out. It's not totally eradicated of all the things that would forbid the seed from growing. But they have spots in their life by which they can receive the Logos. My, they rejoice. They feed on it. This is so wonderful. This is so great. But they're still a stony heart Christian. Now this is an individual that is a settled, constant hearer of Logos. This is not an occasional one. He that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it. My, My, they rejoice. Oh, this is so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. I've been looking for this all of my life. Move over rocks. Move over rocks. Oh, I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But them rocks are still there. Now what they're doing, they're sowing a seed between this two over here, and they find another spot over there, and this, boy, they get rid of this, and they quit that, and oh my goodness, and they look out there one morning, and there the moisture, and actually the moisture condensation upon the rocks, that it will actually pull moisture off of the rocks themselves, because as the night cools down, the temperature drops, and the rocks being a solid mass, that will actually condense, and the moisture will hold on them rocks, and it'll nurture that seed, and it'll water, so, oh, glory to God, I'm growing. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm really doing good. Until you try to disc that field. Praise the Lord. And of course, discing is the preacher's job. Come on now. A lot of folks around the message are like the little red hen story. You know the story, don't you? When she found the little grain of wheat and she wanted to know how many wanted to help her plant the wheat. She asked the duck. Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the fox. You know the story. All of them come down through the whole thing until they come right down to the last phase. And the little red hen went through every stage of coming on. And then nobody wanted to do nothing until they come to eating it. And then the red hen said, who will help me eat it? And the duck said, I will. I will, said the duck. I will, said the goose. That's the way it is with the word. Many folks, oh my, how many wants to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven, says the cigarette sucker. I want to go to heaven, says the drinker. I want to go to heaven, says the idolater. I want to go to heaven, says the pornographer. I want to go to heaven, says this. And the preacher said, come on, we got to plant this seed now. We got to plow this field. We got to disc it up. We got to weed it. We got to garden it. We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to get rid of this. Said, not I, said the drunkard. Not I, said the cigarette sucker. Not I, said the cold, lukewarm person. So me and the little red hen sitting down eating our breakfast. What are you doing? Oh, glory. Lord, children. I wonder who I feel the most sorry for. The first one that's so hard that they just turn and go the way. Or this one who receives the word with joy. And they acknowledge it's the truth. And it actually does something to them internally. That it causes almost like a spiritual combustion within them. And they actually receive an exuberance of joy. And they are so glad they have heard this truth. And they are so grateful, not realizing they're going to have problems down the road. Because of the stone still left in their heart. I'm afraid, friends, that many folks around the message are satisfied. They're complacent with where they are. You remember when Brother Branham was in New York at the Endicott Shoe Company there, the shoe place that made a great big auditorium. And God had been moving on the platform and people were getting healed in one miracle after another. But before that meeting was over, some of them same people were coming right back up. Blinded eyes were open and lame people were walking. And then same people were coming back up and their blindness had returned. And their lameness had returned. And many other afflictions and sicknesses was gone. And the prophet said, the angel of the Lord told him, tell them people to get up there and confess their sins. Why? Because the ground was not prepared to keep healing. It was open enough to receive healing, but not open enough and prepared to keep healing. I don't want to just get saved. I want to stay saved. I don't want to get baptized over and over and over again till the tadpoles know my face and my name. I want to get it one time, brother, and that'll hold me for eternity. Lord Jesus. Notice this individual agrees with the word. They make a profession of faith in it. But there's no heart work that's been done in this individual. Now notice how Jesus describes this person in verse 21. Yet has he no root in himself. Now he didn't say the Logos didn't have root. The problem is not the Logos taking root. The problem is this person has no root in themselves. Now look at this word. It's astounding. Reason. That which like a root springs from a root. So because this person, Lord, had no logos seed in them by spoken word of God, even though logos came in the heart, there was no root in the heart to begin with. Lord Jesus, metaphorically, it's offspring or progeny. So here Jesus himself teaches this, that yet he hath no progeny. He is not an offspring within himself. He has no root in himself. Do you believe this? He didn't say there was no root in the Logos, but he has no root. What? No representation. He hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Logos, by and by he is offended. Now the Logos, we know, can bring offense. Not only that, it will cause offense. It can offend you, it can offend me, because it can be difficult and straight and hard. But not only that, if you live right, you're going to offend folks. First one you're going to offend is the devil. He's going to make him mad. So he's going to anoint his children to make fun of you, to laugh at you and all of that, because you offend him. I'm glad I offend the devil. Aren't you? I'm glad, Brother Jerry, I offend the devil and his kingdom and all that he stands for. I was born to torment the devil. I was born, hallelujah, to be a thorn in his side. Glory. Hallelujah. It was part of the reason I was sent to the earth. The first reason was to serve God. One of the second or third reasons was to aggravate the devil. And I'm going to fulfill my mission. I'm going to torment him. I'm going to aggravate him. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to set God's children free. I'm going to cast out devils when I can. I'm going to torment that devil. That's what I was born for. Now notice the mystery of this individual. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Logos, by and by he is offended. Now our Lord points us to two avenues of this individual. One internal, one external. The external manifests itself because of the lack of the internal. Now they receive the Logos, they believe it, they accept it, they respond, they have great joy. But the Logos has nothing in seed form to attach itself to the original offspring of the Word. So they're receiving something that by nature they're not. They're receiving something that by nature there's not a predestined, you understand church? There's not a predestinated seed of God which also is Logos. Don't you understand when you're sitting here hearing the Logos, you're not receiving something that is exterior from what you are. If you're part of that Word, you also are part of Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. That's the predestinated seed. Actually, persecution helps believers. The strength of the Son to a real seed helps it grow. But to an old message weed, an old message bramble, an old message thorn bush, that sun will go to coming out and say, oh, somebody bring me an umbrella. I can't handle preaching like that. He looks at me right in the face when he's saying them things. Somebody been talking to him? Yeah, Jesus. You see, the brambles and the thorns, they don't really like that sun. Oh, it bakes them. Oh, it's too hot. Ooh, I don't like that. It's amazing to me that they'll get out and put on a bikini and lay out on the beach and get a suntan. Oh my, preach, Brother Donnie. But when the Son of Man comes around, they don't want a Son of Man tan. Prophet of God taught us we're to lay in the presence of the Son. That ain't out on Myrtle Beach half dressed. That's laying in the presence of this Word. What for? To bake all the greenness out of us and get a Son of Man tan. Praise the Lord. But now remember this person here, they are down between the rocks. So the dirt may not be but that deep. Or that deep. Now those rocks that overnight, because they are a solid mass, are congealing and drawing moisture. When the sun comes up the next morning, and that Palestinian sun is now head over right at noontime, coming right down on that sea. Them same rocks, which are now also still a solid mass, they will gather more heat. That's why you go inside a big city with concrete buildings and all that, and the temperature inside the city will be hotter than it will be in the suburbs. You know that, because the brick and the mortar and all that. Why? It draws this heat and it holds it up. Now these rocks, which, oh my, they were so grateful for the night before. Now these rocks are gathering the heat. Not only is the sun itself, but now the heat is permeating from these hindrances in their life. And that poor little scripture saying that, is it almost time for the sun to go down? I'll get a little relief as soon as I can get out of church. And then he wants to know why I'd only come one service a week. Well, the sun sets. And the little plant said, but the plant forgot to recall that that rock standing there right by it still is the same temperature it was when the sun was up. For being a solid mass in its molecular structure, it will be allowed to retain that heat for several hours after the sun has set. And it ain't got but a little bit of fertility in its life. And it's losing holiness. And it's losing prayer. And now I don't even know if it believes Brother Brown was a prophet or not. Come on, church. Anything wrong with the word? Nope. Anything wrong with the man who sowed it? Nope. The problem is the ground. Now whenever this heat comes from the sun. Ah, the senator. And the wheat senator. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And them tares are saying, you bunch of nuts! What in the world's the matter with you? This is burning me up. And they're saying, me too. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's burning all the greenness out of me. It's burning the world out of me. It's burning bad habits out of me. Hallelujah. He has no root in himself, but endureth for a while, for in tribulation, a persecution riseth because of the Logos. By and by, he is offended. Verse 22. It's amazing when you look at this parable that Jesus, before the dispensation of the Holy Ghost now has come, Jesus sows this parable and shows us 3/4 of the Logos that will ever be sowed on the earth will come to naught. So if the Logos will do that, that probably means 99.9999999 of all the sermons I ever preach will go to the wind. Real encouraging, ain't it? But it ain't for them 3/4 know-how. It's for the fourth. The Logos will judge him of the 3/4 anyway. Now he also that received seed, word, Logos, among the thorns. What kind of farmer would this be? What kind of preacher would this be? To go out and sow seeds among thorns, among rocks on a wayside. Can't you see? They are setting, they're receiving, but refuse to be disciplined and opened to receive the seed. That's what self-reliance does and self-confidence. It leaves us with our thorns. It leaves us with our stones. It leaves us hard in our hearts. Now look at this other category. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the Logos and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Logos. The Logos. You mean to tell me thorns can choke this all-powerful Logos? Is that possible? That riches and the cares of the world and just business and this and that and the other can actually put its hands, as we'd say it this way. It can actually, cares of the world and riches and the love of money and pleasure and so on, can actually put its hands around the neck of the Logos and choke it. And the Logos, and the Logos dies in your heart. Lord Jesus. God help us, Lord. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world. Notice, not the love of this world, but the care of it. Just so wrapped up in doing so many things that are of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches choke the Logos and he become unfruitful. Now here, this land apparently had been plowed, but not totally eradicated of thorns. Now you see, friends, whenever we are born, we're born full of these rocks and thorns and hard places. We all are. And we had to be conditioned to be able to receive the word. Now even the good ground. Even the good ground, those of you that are predestinated, saved, I hope and pray by God's grace, all of us are. But even those that are considered good ground, we still had stony places in our lives. We had thorns, we had cares, and even though we are redeemed and filled with the Holy Ghost, we still have to be concerned about these things. Say the truth, be honest. But when you're dealing with people who refuse to even be prepared by the instrument by which God would use. And you imagine farmers going out and over the years they've learned to be able to progress. And years and years ago, thousands of years ago, when man first learned how to till the soil and make a primitive type of plow and a primitive type of implements of work. And you know, now as they go along, and many of them don't even plow the fields anymore. They use the no-till process. So they'll come in and spray all the fields. And then so many days they'll go back, put down the soybeans or the corn or whatever more. And if it goes on another, who knows how many years, and no doubt it'll progress even farther than that. But none of it. You can just walk out there in the back of your pickup and you've got a whole pickup load of corn. Say, all right, corn, go do it. Go out there and jump into that ground. Bring a crop. It has to be prepared. Why is it that you know that? And you will agree with that. But we don't agree that our hearts has to be prepared to receive this seed. Lord Jesus. Why was it that Jesus termed this about riches when he said this in this verse, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches? What is deceitful about riches? Now, deceitful is something that is trying to talk you into something that will deceive you once you get there. So it shows you something that is not real or a facade. It'll show you something that is not, does not contain all the truth. And then once you get involved, then you see the true nature of what you've got into. Can we call it the American dream? It's become the American nightmare in the last few years, ain't it? Oh my. But yet Jesus uses this term to denote the deceitfulness that riches, because people think, my, if I could just work, if I could just get this, and then, no, once they get there, then, oh my, if I can just get this, and then they keep climbing, 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 oh, I know I'll be happy, I know I will. And once they get there, are they? How come movie stars, some of the richest people, famous people in the world, are on dope, and they got to go to rehab, and they got to go, if anybody ought to have happiness, if money can do it, it ought to be the rich folks of the world. A person living on the side of the road in a cardboard box can have more peace than a billionaire. Why? Because riches can be deceitful. Many folks have traded off their walk with God for a better paying job. More degrees, more this, more that, more that, more that. And the more things you get, the more time you have to take care of them things you got. Most of us probably are better off financially than what our daddies and mamas and grandpas and them and that and the other was. But I wonder who had the most peace. I wonder who had the most understanding about life. Your kids wear $100 tennis shoes, and my, they got toys galore, and they got all this and that and the other. What does it mean to them? I remember as a boy cutting a grapevine and swinging down in the woods. That was our toys. Never did have a good bicycle that got very big because mom and daddy couldn't afford one. Never had nothing unless my cousins had given it to me. First wagon I ever got for Christmas was my aunt and uncle got it because mom and daddy couldn't afford to buy me one. But you know what? That meant something to me. Many of you sitting here, you older ones, I mean, I'm not talking about folks 175 years old either. But it meant something. But look at our kids. We get them this and this and this and this. And what does it mean? And they come around like this. They always want more. And what are we teaching them? We're teaching them the deceitfulness of riches. We're not teaching them appreciation and honor. Come on, children. Don't get quiet on me. You buy them their first car and it's a brand new Camaro. Oh, my. When Carol got married, we had a 1962 American Rambler. I had a Ford truck, but Daddy told me if I got married, he's taking it away from me, and he kept his word. So we had a real American classic, a 1962 gray American Rambler, piece of junk. Looked like I don't know what, but man, we didn't know no different. We just, you know, we felt like we was rich because we had God and we had one another. And we knew what the real values and the real principles were. Folks that just laughed at us didn't make no difference to us. We'd drive down the road like we had good sense. Whether we had it or not, that's debatable. But you know what? We knew some value. But riches can be so deceitful. And the more you get, the more you want. And the more you want, the more you get. And the more you get. Look, friends, the only ones that's going to win in this rat race are the rats. I don't know about you, I'm not a rat. I'm in another race, the one that Paul talked about. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. I want you to notice now in these three that we've looked at thus far. The difference is not the seed nor the sower. The difference that we've seen so far has been where the seed landed. Let's look in chapter 13, verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Notice the difference. Totally the ground. But the other people didn't receive bad seed and a hybrid seed and a mixed up seed. They all received the same logos. But the difference was where it landed. Now listen to this. Don't just categorize this as predestinated and non-predestinated, because every one of us can come into church in one of these four conditions. This is just not something that's categorically that fits to certain people. Oh, I ain't got nothing to do with heart. Don't you tell me. We as a Christian people in this day have got to fight hardness like anybody else does. Come on, children. Don't get quiet on me. We've got to fight the briars and the thorns that chokes out the Spirit of God in our life just like everybody else does. Don't put this just in one category, but realize as long as you're in this, you have the potential of the stony place. Because in this can be a hardness of heart. In this can be a stony place. In this can be a thorn. Honestly believe with all of my heart, one of the greatest things we're going to have to deal with in this last day is attitudes. Keeping our attitudes right against those who don't treat us right, people in the message, preachers, whatever more, that don't do right, don't say right, and then if we're not careful with that, well, bless God, that's the way they are, I'll be. No, don't you be that way. You pray for them. Amen. Is that right? You pray for them. Jesus Christ did not let the attitude of the stony heart Pharisees affect him. He was the good ground. Was he tempted? He had to be tempted in all points like as we are. He had to feel something rise up within him. Oh my, to want to get back at him, Brother Dow, but something there overrode that. What was it? The good ground. Listen to this in Works of Faith Express. The word of God is a seed. And must have the ground prepared beforehand. And if you sowed seed and just throw it out on the ground, it would do no good. The birds would pick it up. You throw it among the thistles and thorns, it'll choke it out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first. So God, in sovereign grace, prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. Now here is a pre-prepared ground associated by representation of the seed. But that don't mean now you just walk in there, my, I'm a predestinated seed. I don't need no preacher. I don't need no praying. I don't know. Oh, no. We're talking about the seed that's pre-prepared. Remember, your heart's still full of rocks and your heart's still full of briars and nettles. And that's got to be took out how? By a farmer. Here I come. I got my mattock. I got my hoe. I got my shovel. And if there's any rocks in there, I got a few sticks of dynamite in my back pocket. I'll use dunamis to get them out. I don't want to sow this seed if I can help it on stony ground. I'd like to get the rocks out first. I'd like to be able to get the briars out first and the nettles out first. Then let's sow some seed. Oh, glory. You know, really, I feel sorry for the poor devil. Poor old guy's out here fighting like he's going to win this thing. I don't know if he knows it or not, but he's losing. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. He foreknew you by his foreknowledge and ordained you to eternal life. He knew you, therefore he prepared you. Any seed has to have its ground, of course, therefore all he foreknew. He already knew what was going to happen. Notice Jesus said again about the seed. Some fell on the rock, others in mixed ground. You see over there where the thorns and thistles and everything, it couldn't grow. Others on good ground, good soil, which had been prepared, already prepared. Some of the grain, the rapture, some of the grain, wheat fell on ground, the birds picked it up. Others fell amongst the thorns, some went on prepared ground, pre-prepared ground. I really like that. That's a double emphasis on you as prepared. Not only prepared, but pre-prepared. Pre-prepared. Oh, glory! You were pre-prepared ground and brought forth. What's Luke's rendition of the same thing? But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart. And pray tell me, how is that possible for any of us to ever have an honest and a good heart? We were born dishonest and liars. How could he dare to speak this? That some people had an honest and a good heart. Well, they're all born in sin, shaping iniquity, come to the world, speaking lies. They're tagged by the devil. They're marked. When you see that navel, it's a bad sign. Connected to a woman, come to the tree of death. And yet Jesus, according to Luke's connotation of it, would say that there was some that had a good heart. Amen. But on the good ground are they which is an honest and a good heart, having heard the Logos, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. renders them the ability to keep this word? What gives them the ability to keep this word and not only keep it, but bring forth fruit? And they will do it patiently. Notice again, Matthew says, Matthew 13, 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the Logos and understandeth it. Now what gives him the ability to understand above the other person who was so hard that they could not understand it? Which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now the hearer is he that is the receiver of the word, but when he goes down in, the Logos goes down into the heart, and it drops down in beside that Logos in the heart. And they connect. And the baby starts being formed. And they sit there and all of a sudden, it's like something has reached and got a hold to them. And they're looking face to face at this being that they used to think was an alien called God. For the first time, they're seeing him as he is. And then they think, predestination. Oh my goodness. Serpent said, oh, I always wondered why it had to be virgin birth. Oh, perfect. I see why there can't be an eternal hell. My goodness, it's perfect. He had a root within himself. Now, does this understanding come all at once? Oh, no, it don't come all at once. But it will come just enough to where the two connect. And when they do, then an outpouring comes from this union. For the Logos that they are hearing unites with the Logos which they are. And that union transpires and from them starts the new birth, which also starts the new body. Now here is their connection with the eternal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They begin to be formed into another image of the living God. And when they heard and saw the message of the hour, they heard from their theophany. They didn't even know they had a theophany. They never even knew there was such a thing. But once they connected in the good ground of the heart, they started bringing forth fruit unto eternal life. Now watch, they not only hear it, but according to Luke, they keep it. Not only do they hear the doctrines, but they bring forth fruit. Now let's look again at another story here in Mark chapter 7, verse 10. The Logos can be made non-effective to people. Listen to this. Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, let him die the dead. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother. Making the Logos of none effect. And the word effect is to disannul, to render void. Deprive of force and authority. False teaching, tradition can make the Logos of no effect in people's lives. Can I take one more point? You see, Logos is when it's written and rendered in such a way, it's totally conditional, based upon ifs and wherefores and whys. But when God sends Rhema, no conditions involved. Genesis chapter 17, God speaking to Abraham. Chapter 17, verse 4. Now this is God. As for me. Behold, my covenant is with thee. Upon what basis? Abraham's choice? God's choice. As for me, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt. Not if. Not wherefore, if you do this and do this and I'll do that. Look, this is an example of a Rhema word in the Old Testament. God himself declaring it. It's not based upon Abraham's faithfulness. It's not based upon Abraham's endurance. It's based upon the one who gave the promise. Don't you understand, friend, why he could predestinate a bride? How could he ever have a bride? Based upon our faithfulness and our loyalty and our trueness. There is not a person in this building that has been 100% loyal to God since you become a Christian. Even if you just got saved this morning at 10 o'clock. There ain't a one of us in this building that can say we are faultless or we have been without a flaw. How could he base such a thing on us? He didn't base it on us, but he based it upon himself. As for me, you are my bride. As for me, I've made my covenant with you. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Abram! But look what God did. A-B-R-A-M. So God goes right in the middle of his name and scoots it apart and drops down the letter H. A-B-R-A-H-A-M. And then slides his name back together. Of course, the H was for Elohim. So now God renames his boy and gives him part of his name. Amen. The prophet said that this way, I'm big Elohim and you're little Elohim. I-B's a junior. Amen. My daddy's name was Donald Lee Reagan. My name is Donald Lee Reagan Jr. Elohim was big Elohim, and Abraham was Elohim Jr. Oh, glory to God. What did he do? This is not based upon if you do this and do this and do this and do this and I'll give you an H. God said, I'm giving you an H right now because I am going to do this. I determined it in myself and nothing shall stop me. Then he took his bride's name. S-A-R-A-I. And he took the I off the end of her name and put an H. I think that's what he needs to do a lot of us. Take the I out of our lives. I think this and I believe that and I. You need an H on the end of your name. Well, it's not what you think. It's not about you. It's about him. Glory! I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Ah, notice who's doing this, God. And kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee. So where's Abraham's free moral agents in all this? When are you free will Baptists going to get this out of your mind? Brother Donnie, I got to have my will, all right? I'll read you some things about your will and see what you want to do with it. Look at some of the conditional promises and we'll close. Exodus 19:4, God speaking to the children of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Moses the prophet, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, not I will, I've already done it, but now here comes a conditional logos. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure and unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, a holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak unto the children of Israel. Do you understand? They never attained to this. Israel was never a kingdom of priests. Never. But they will be. Be 144,000 of them in the millennium. Exodus 23:22, if thou shalt indeed obey my voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Brother, I'll tell you one thing. You can't ask for a better comrade than God. Woo, my, my. You know, the nations of the world, we've got allies with this and allies with that. Here's my ally. Give me God. Don't give me Germany. Don't give me Italy. Don't give me the Vatican, but give me God. And God says, if you obey me, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies. I can't ask for nothing no better than that. Deuteronomy 11:26. Behold, I set before thee this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not. Now, who's this speaking to? The children of Israel. Here's the Logos, conditional Logos. And they never did move into the full inheritance of that land because they never fully obeyed him. Listen. Conditions can hinder Logos. Oh, God, help us today. Let's bow our heads if you would. Heavenly Father, I pray that our gathering today will not be in vain. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd help each of us. From me, Lord God, begin with me first. To every minister, every deacon, every trustee, down to the janitor, to the brothers in the audio booths, to those in Norway, South Africa, Europe, and Canada, wherever they are that will watch the service. Lord God, help us, I pray. If Satan cannot stop us from being good ground, then he'll try to spring up thorns which are inherent in all of our flesh. Lord, the good ground is not our body. The good ground is that predestinated part. May they not walk out of here today and think, well, I'm elect. I ain't got no thorns. Sure, we got thorns. Matter of fact, Paul didn't have enough. You give him an extra one. A thorn in his flesh, which is buffeting him. Lest he be exalted above measure. So Lord, help us to see. We'll have to fight off hardness. I believe, Lord, some of the message people are some of the hardest people I've ever dealt with in my life. They've been so hurt, many of them. We have been let down by preachers and disappointed. Every time they get hurt, they get harder. And they close themselves in a walled city. No wonder the scripture says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contention are like the bars of a castle. Every time they get hurt, let down, disappointed, they pull in tighter and tighter and tighter in themselves because they think it's too risky to love and trust. They think they're protecting themselves, but they're allowing themselves to be made more hard. They think it's only people they're doing that to. But not only are they doing it to people, they're doing it to you. Because when we so entangle our emotions, then we will not allow you to love us. Lord, help us, I pray. Lord God, search my heart, search my being today, Lord. May you go through the field of my life. Point out the stones, Lord, that I need to get out of my way. Then, Lord, let me move up to the next spot where the thorns will be there. Father, I've had access to millions and millions of dollars of the years of my ministry. But I haven't kept that money. I'm no millionaire. I'm no rich man. I've had access to it. But I've chosen God to go the other way. But that does not mean that I'm free or exempt from the care of this world. Oh Lord, if I would have sold out, compromised on some things a few years ago, a certain niche of the message would have taken me in. They've offered me big money. But Lord, I turned it down. I don't want money. I want truth. But Lord God, you know a lot of my dealings are with message people.
So, Father, I have to battle and fight things in a different way than most of these do. And I have to protect my heart that I don't become hard. But I found out I don't protect it by putting my human arms around it. I protect it by giving it away. By giving it to you. And loving is a risky business. When we meet a woman and we commit our life to that woman, we have no idea what that woman might do. It's risky. When we bring our children into the earth, we have no idea what they may do to us when they turn 18, 19 years old. There's no way for us to know. But we consider the risk worthy. When our grandchildren come to the earth, when we make friends, when we tell people our intimate secrets, we have no way of knowing if they'll ever turn on us. So, Lord, anybody we love outside of you, it's risky. But, Lord God, help us to see it's worth the risk. When we see people right here in our own church that's become so hardened, they have nothing good to say about anyone. They're so poison and so bitter. It grieves the Spirit of God away from the Holy Ghost, all from our heart, Lord. Help us, I pray, Lord. May you search our lives today. I want to be laid open before you as a field. I may not have a big field because I'm not a big person. My commitment may not be no more than just a little garden patch outside of my house, as it were. But look down in my little garden, Lord. Go down through every furrow and every row. Is there stones there that's hid beneath the surface that'll cause me hindrance? Is there roots laying there of thorns and thistles that may tie back to my childhood that lays so buried, so very deep in my subconscious that it'll take years for it to ever come up? Help me, Lord. I don't want to go so far as a preacher. Years on down the road, and then all of a sudden the thorns spring up and choke out the Logos out of my life. Keep me weed free, Lord. Grant it, Lord. And I know by doing that it's going to take chopping. And Lord, it's a lot of work to have a garden. It's been several years since I've had a vegetable garden, Lord, but I know it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work having pretty shrubbery and flowers and plants, because them weeds and whatever more that we didn't plant, they thrive much better than that pretty flower standing there. May we understand it's the same way in our lives. We have to work and work and work to have a Christian walk. And the weeds and the brambles and the briars seem like they just grow so fast. And they come up so quick. Nobody tends to them. Nobody fertilizes them. Nobody waters them. But it seems like they grow so fast in our lives. Help us today, Lord Jesus, I pray. I pray for every preacher around this message, Lord, every true man of God. Lord, you see, preachers are under such an onslaught. I pray for every servant of God that you'd help them. Keep them true, Lord. Help them, dear God. Many of them have been hurt. Lord, they've been hurt too, much more even than much of the laity. And who do they go to talk to? Who do they have that they can turn to? I pray for them, Lord. We're a hurt bunch of people living in a hurting age. But Lord Jesus, may we not wallow in a hurt. May we go to the great physician who can make us well. Search my little garden spot this morning, Lord. And may we raise your hand with me and say, Lord, search me. See if you find any rocks, any cares of this world. For those of you who are rich, if you'd be considered rich, may you be honest too, Lord. Look at me. Don't let me be deceived by riches. Lord, don't let no roots, no weeds, no thorns put its hand on this precious Logos and choke it and choke it until the last breath leaves that Logos out of my life. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him a little bit now, friends. Oh, He's worthy. He's worthy. Lord Jesus, search me, Father. Search me, Lord God, today. Lord God, we know the heart of an individual is a very deceiving thing. We can look at ourselves through ourselves and think we're okay. But Lord God, I don't want to look at me through me. I want to look at me through the Word. I don't want to look at me today and throw this to this brother boy. Brother Donnie sure tore that brother up. No, God. I don't want to have a pitchfork religion where I throw it here and there and there. But Lord God, let it apply to me today, God. Whatever I need, even if I think I don't need it, that's not what matters. Whatever I need, Lord, apply it to my life. Search this little garden spot called Donnie Reagan. I'm dust of the earth. I was sown with all kinds of bad seeds from the Schultz. I was sown with bad inheritance from the Reagans. I come together as a mixture of my mother and father's chromosomes and their genes. I come to the earth. Lord God, I never had to be taught how to lie. I was thinking about the other day, Lord, me and Harry and one of our cousins, as we laid out one night beside the road before I ever got saved. Cars had come through and we'd rock them cars, hit them, and just for the fun of seeing people throw on their brakes and back up and try to figure out who done it. Me and Harry went along the road one day to Happy Top and picked up Coke bottles and beer bottles on the side of the road and busted them bottles all the side of the road. What made me do that, Lord? Is them old weeds, them old rocks. Just mean us. Just mean us. I was born that way. Lord God. But I'm so glad there's a root down there from another world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A little Logos seed that lay there for years and years and years. But one day you started moving on it, Lord God. It took years on my journey for it to ever actually become born by the breath of God. But I believe today it's been born by the breath of God. Hallelujah. But Lord, I don't want to stop growing. I don't want to stop growing in understanding. I don't want to stop growing in wisdom. I don't want to start growing, Lord God, in my understanding of the Logos, nor do I want to cut off the supply of Rhema. I want to be a fruitful Christian. Hallelujah, Lord. Look at me, friends. Jesus ends this parable by saying, some will bring forth 30-fold, some 60-fold and 100-fold. He didn't say 30%. He didn't say 60% or 100%. He said 30-fold. And this time in the land of Palestine, 10-fold was a great measure of harvest. In other words, if you planted one grain of corn, for you to be able to reap 10 because of the semi-arid condition of where it was a great harvest for you. So a 10-fold harvest was a great harvest. Jesus is not saying there'll be some Christians that'll bring forth 30% and some. No, it's 30-fold. So God may have given you so much seed. You may never be a Brother Branham. Well, none of us will be that. I don't want to be myself. But you'll bring forth what God gives you and the capacity to bring it forth. That don't mean you're a 30% Christian. You're doing all you can do. You're a 30-fold person. You're doing exactly what God wants you to be. Don't feel intimidated by that. Some will bring forth 60-fold where God places them and gifts them. And they'll take something and my, it'll multiply 60 times of what God gave them. And there'll be some, a few, who knows how many it will be, that'll bring forth 100-fold. But each of them are reaching their capacity in God. It's not that you're, well, I'm just a 30% Christian. That's not true. You're doing everything God ordains you to do when you reach the fold of what He wants you to be.
You love Him.
Now, if you're a 100-fold Christian, 99.5 won't do. If you're a 30-fold, 29.5 won't do. If you're a 30-fold, you want to peek out at 30. Is that right? If you're 60, you want to peek out at 60. God bless you, saints. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, can we? We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you today, Lord God. We worship you. Thank you for your truth, Lord. Thank you for your truth, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Brother Louis, would you come? God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Appreciate you so much. Expecting another baby, and the doctors did some scans and they thought they saw something that might be abnormal with the child. I want to just bring her before the Lord today. Lord Jesus, it's written in your word that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm reminded one day there was a little 18-year-old girl that came to an old woman who had conceived in the latter part of her life. She'd been carrying her baby and there'd been no movement. The baby was dead. 6 months along, Elizabeth was. But here come Mary, packing Jesus. And she simply spoke your name to Elizabeth. And when she did, little John come to life. Lord God, we believe we also are Mary. We believe we are, hallelujah, carrying the word in our day. So Father, we agree together, all of us believers here today. You see, Lord, if there's anything wrong with the baby. You're the same God that can go right straight to where that child is right now, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, may the miraculous power of God go to this baby, Father. Lord Jesus, may all be well, dear God. We speak that great, awesome name again today. The name of Jesus. 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 Glory! Jesus! Oh, hallelujah. Grant it, I pray, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Dear God, you see this need in my sister's body. Father, all week, been having problems with her blood pressure. I speak that holy name. That righteous name that we're redeemed by, that we're called by, the name of Jesus. Satan, I adjure you by the name of the Lord Jesus. I rebuke every symptom. May it leave her. Hey! Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, may she be made well by the power of God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. You believe in children. Oh, you believe that mighty God is right here among us. Lord Jesus.
Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you, and at your mercy, Lord, I'll serve you till my dying day. Help others find a way. At your mercy, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. At your mercy, Lord, I serve you till my dying day. Help others find a way. At your mercy, please forgive me.
Oh, Jesus, we bless you.
Oh, please forgive me.
Oh, glory, glory, glory.
I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Oh, please forgive me.
Oh, Lord,
I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. The God of earth and glory will take the time to care for one like me. But I read it in the Bible, that old story, how he prayed for my forgiveness while he was hanging on the tree. Find the way at your mercy. was covering up the secret tears I cried.
Oh, yes.
Oh, then someday someone told me of your mercy.
Hallelujah.
And the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my salvation. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free. Love me, how you love me.